So how many, listen, I have this small question. How many people in your room, in the room you're sitting in now, agrees with the war?
I think none. All of us, all of us feel like war is going to be a bad thing for everybody, including the Iraqi people and the American people, and that war is unhealthy.
So we have a room full of friends. Good.
Oh, definitely.
We have a question for you.
Hi, this is Josh. Well, we were just talking about how a lot of people in the United States think that maybe something like this would be good for the Iraqi people, that they would be liberated. Is this something that you guys agree with?
Well, hi, Josh. This is Haider. Now, what you're saying here is just a point of view. Now, I really, really so eager to hear your proofs and your evidence about what you said. I mean, if we want that, we're going to say that, right? Nothing can stop us. Who gave your government the right to decide what we want, what we dislike, or what we like? I mean, and there's another point. In the past, we used to have a monarchy regime. And when the attitude of our king, we didn't like it, guess what? We kicked him off. Nothing could stop us at that time, and nothing can stop us now.
This is Michelle. I would just, to follow up on that question, I think the arguments that get made on our television and with our government figures are that they present your president as a dictator and that you have no ability to express your ideas freely, so that even if you wanted to change your government and you wanted to have a democracy or something similar to that, you would not be able to. And the argument goes, in that situation, you need help from the outside, and our government says they are willing to use the power of the American military to make that happen. And that if you could say that you wanted it, you would, but unfortunately you can't, so we just need to assume that you will appreciate it once it happens. That's the argument that happens on this end, saying we need to liberate you. And I would be interested to know what you would say to perhaps our President George Bush, who has this opinion.
Well, sorry for the word, but this is a bullshit. Sorry.
No, of course.
This is a completely bullshit. If you think we are dominated by Saddam Hussein, how come we are sitting here and talking about him and his personality and the government? If we are determined by him and dominated and we have no free at all, how come we are learning and do whatever we want to do? How come? This is not a question for you. This is a little bit irony for you. You said that we need liberation from America, a military liberation. How do you know that? You haven't came to Iraq and visit us and talk to us and to the normal people. And you said Iraqi people need American liberation, military liberation? No, there isn't such a thing.
Orange ejector over here. The fact is, listen, like, Iraq has been a victim of, how should I say, greed. Say, from around the world, America, Britain, and, you know, like, we've been in a state of war for the past, like, what, 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, fine. There isn't actual bombing, you know, 24/7, like that. But the thing is, like, you know, the embargo itself is a war.
Right.
And, you know, like, in such a situation, like, you can't really, you know, you have to have control until some extent. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, let's say the past 2 years were really good. I mean, there was lots of prosperity. People started living better. And suddenly this, bam, like, the, you know, states, you know, they want to bomb us, stuff like that. I mean, you want to go to oppressive regimes, go to Pakistan, go to India, go to, you know, other countries.
I'm talking to you. My name, if you didn't get it, very good. I'm Sudit. I'm the eldest one in the group. I'm 31. Some of them is laughing. But I'm supposed to tell my story.
I'm 34, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't care. They say I look younger. Anyway. I was in 19. I was in third year in Al Sirat University College, English department, and I was among the first students. And I have got good marks, very good and excellent. But I was forced to leave the college because dad has cancer and he died suffering from this disease. And our financial circumstances went down and down, and we are, as a family, my family, have faced so much ups and downs through, all over these 11 years. And I had to leave the college and work so many jobs. The latest job that I settled in is as a school teacher. And from this job, I got a scholarship from the government, the Iraqi government. He said that Saddam Hussein is a dictator personality. No, he's not. He had gave me another chance to continue my education and to get a BA license. How come he is a dictator personality? No, he's not. He's not at all. I'm not talking, it isn't a personal thing. We this circumstance that I'm passing, so many Iraqi women and men have faced, and they got another chance, especially this year.
I wanted to say something. I think, in a sense, we all agree about our government and what they say about liberation. I think I definitely agree that it's bullshit and propaganda. What do you think this war is about? Why do you think America is, and the American government is going into Iraq? Why do you think they're going in there for?
Well, this is an easy question. This is a very easy question, of course, because of the oil. Because you know that in Iraq, we have a fortune called oil, and all the countries, I mean America and UK, are searching and seeking and trying to find a way to take this from our nation. So this is the reason.
Hi, I'm Lubna. I want to ask you a question. The American government destroyed Iraqi people in 1991, and it's the reason of the death of million children, and it is still the innocent smile from them. So can you imagine what happened if that would happen again?
Yeah, I think
I'm sure you can't imagine that, and I hope you won't imagine that, because believe me, there's no human on earth deserves to go in such feelings.
I think that's one of the problems. This is Leah speaking. I think that's one of the problems here in the United States is that so many people are far removed from what's going on with everyone in Iraq, and we don't see and hear and look at what's happening, and we don't know the personal stories and hear what's been going on since 1991, since 1990 when the embargo was put in place. And that's something that all of us are working really hard to do, is to help people here learn your stories and hear what's going on and make it a lot more difficult for them to support the war, because once you know someone's story, it's much harder to hate them.
And that's what...
Hi, I'm Mukar. Delena, can you ask you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Do you like your friend, and what will you say if you lose your friend and family and your future in the war?
No, of course not. That's why I was saying that I understand how you guys must be feeling. And when Serbs attacked us, they were saying that, you know, it's their right to the land, and that they're going to liberate most of their people that have been oppressed because we had our own country. And the war hasn't changed anything, and people are still suffering and are suffering even more because politicians are still persisting on, you know, taking their territory that they believe is theirs, and they're not wondering about people and their lives. And that's what, it's really bad that people don't understand that it's all about politics and it's not about what people really want. They're making it seem like it's what you want, but they're not letting you speak and say for yourself. And it's definitely hard to understand, and I've lost friends and family members in the war, and I completely, in full my heart, disagree with it, and I wouldn't approve of any liberation with the war. I think it can happen in so many other ways.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi there, I'm Soraya. Well, all we know that American government wants to destroy us and do all that for sake of Israel and to control on our country. That's the point. All the world know that.
You know, Israel is just like the elephant who's sitting on the table and no one is talking about it. It's exactly like that. Because, you know, they are saying stuff about mass destruction weapons. And both of us, I think our side and your side, we got nobody, no one who's dumb or fool sitting among us. So both of us know that this is just a pretext, no more, no less. And there are 3 points that prove what I'm saying. The first one is that the Spectre teams have been searching for those weapons for years now, and they didn't find anything. So here we got 2 possibilities. Either they are not good enough, they don't know how to do their job, so they couldn't find it, and that's, of course, the wrong thing. Or the second possibility, which is we don't own them, so simply that's why they couldn't find them, and that's the truth. The second reason is that there are more than 60 countries all around the world who own those mass destruction weapons, and Israel is at the top of the list. And the American government is not saying a word about it. So here they are using double standards policy, right?
Yeah.
And who gave them the right to do so?
Not us.
And besides, if we would go back through history and ask ourselves, who was the first country who used those mass destruction weapons? Guess what? The answer is going to be the United States of America when they used them against Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, right?
Yeah.
So they are talking about a crime. They were the first to do it. Yeah. It's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. Even a child won't accept such matter. What do you have to say about that?
This is Michelle. I agree with your position that, well, it's a truth. It's not a position that America obviously was the first country and only country to use a nuclear bomb at this point. I think that is something that more people in my country need to remember. People here understand that as a defensive move that was needed for to bring about the end of World War II. I disagree with that. I think that in the process of people remembering it that way, they don't want to have to think about all the people that we killed when we did that. That said, I think it's important that weapons of mass destruction be destroyed all over the world. Iraq right now is in the focus of the United Nations and the IAEA to make that happen. I think that that is not a bad thing. But I agree with you that if and when that is finished, the rest of the world should be fulfilling their commitments, including the United States, including France, including Russia, including China, to disarm. Weapons of mass destruction in anyone's hands are a disaster waiting to happen. I have a question about inspections. In the United States, Americans here believe that inspections aren't working and that you are still hiding weapons of mass destruction. And that is the fear about that is a major thing that makes people think that war is still a possibility and a necessity. What would you say to Americans to help them get over that fear or help them address their concern that your country has these weapons?
I'll answer that. Listen, the thing is you have to, you know, watch the news more carefully. I mean, if you saw the last report of Mohamed El-Baradei and Hans Blix, yeah, you'll see that Hans Blix, he's totally positive about the inspections. He said, like, the Iraqis are totally cooperating, and, like, all we need is just a few more months. And, you know, Mohamed El-Baradei, what he said is, like, everything, you know, every, how should I say, everything the Americans said was fabricated, you know, about this aluminum, how should I say, cylinders and stuff like that. And, like, there is no nuclear project in Iraq. I mean, you should pay attention to the news.
I am paying attention to the news. I'm not saying that this is my opinion. I'm not sure who is speaking there. I'm trying to present a question that I imagine people who are in favor of the war would be asking you, because I know that people who listen to this radio broadcast will want to have a question like that asked. I have been watching the UN every day, 10, 12 hours a day. It's crazy. And I understand that Mohamed El-Baradei made that report. I think it's something that we need to pay attention to more. So if you thought that I wasn't paying attention, I apologize. I should have made that clearer. I absolutely am paying attention.
No, sorry.
Oh, I just had a question.
Hi, Michelle. It's good.
Hi.
Well, you mentioned the weapon of mass destruction in France and China and Russia and USA, but you didn't mention it in North Korea, and it's the other part that America wants to bomb it or disagree in having North Korea weapon of mass destruction. and you say that Iraq hides this such weapon. Where the hell we are hiding it? In the sky? Really? Where we are hiding? Where? The team of inspectors have inspected each inch, every leash, as what he said. And they didn't find anything, and I'm sure they have civilized equipment for these things to fulfill their task. And till now, you say that Iraq has a weapon of mass destruction, and they should destroy it, and Iraq must destroy this weapon. But I'm asking you something important. You said that the American people are supporting Iraq, and you said so at the beginning of this conversation. But right now, till now, I'm finding that you are agree with the USA, with the American government, with Bush Jr. You said that we believe that you have a WMD, and we have to destroy it. And we are telling you, and as Saeed said, Dr. Mohammed Al-Barabi and Hans Black said that Iraq doesn't have such weapons. And you can insist on this issue. I don't know. Why do you keep on insisting on Iraq having weapon of mass destruction? Wait a minute, Haider. It's an important issue. No.
I think it's a misunderstanding.
It's the center of the problem.
Yeah, I think it's a misunderstanding. I'm presenting views.
That's what I was trying to make clear here. That you guys are saying, at what you're hearing from the streets, from the people who's living all over the United States,
exactly.
Not what you believe, what the listeners believe. So we want to make it clear for the listeners.
Okay,
Thank you. That's true.
Don't you have a time to watch the satellite channel, Iraqi satellite channel, and you'll see the news?
Okay, they answered that already. I have here another question. It's really weighing on my mind for days now. I bet that you have seen the conversation, the interview between our president and your reporter. And our president offered to make a live dialogue with Bush in front of all the people all around the world, just like the one we are having right now. And your president didn't agree for that. Can I know the reason of that? Why didn't Bush agree to have a conversation with our president?
Answer.
No, I'm waiting for the answer. Come on.
Well, two things come to mind. One is that this president, obviously, I'm sure you've seen, he's not an incredibly bright person, and he's also not well-spoken.
Yeah, you can say that again.
That's what I was looking for.
He's only given, I think he's given 8 live press conferences compared to, say, 30 to 40 as the average for other presidents. He's not a guy who likes to be in public speaking. But I think the support here in America for war, I think, is contingent on a very strict control of how the war is presented, or how the arguments for war are presented. And anything where he would have to kind of go ad lib and be confronted with serious questions, even if they are presented by Saddam Hussein, I think he just would rule that out immediately.